How you doing, ladies and gentlemen? Good evening, and welcome to another episode of NBA Clutch Time, hosted by the Playmakers Radio, and yours truly, Brandon Burroughs, aka Yasha the Beast. And there's a couple of things that we need to discuss right now. First things first, Kyrie. Kyrie Irving has taken a lot of flack from a lot of fans and, you know, media personalities alike, especially throughout, you know, the last 2 weeks of his absence. So, 7 games, no Kyrie, right? Kyrie isn't coming out and talking to anybody. But yet still, there are reports of what's been going on. And some of the stuff Kyrie has been doing. He was on a video call, a conference video call, with different people who are aiming for positions of power, in certain races, right? And I'm talking more about a political type of race. So he's been spotted doing that, you know, and talking with some of those people via video calls and video conferences. He went and bought George Floyd's family a house. The thing is, Kyrie's not the person coming out and talking about all of this. There are other people that are coming out and talking about this stuff, and I think Kyrie doesn't feel a need to come out and talk about what he's been doing, because Kyrie usually comes off as a relatively humble person. He's a person that's just like, although he wants to look out for himself always and forever, he's not somebody that makes comments that is surrounded by himself. You know, he doesn't make his comments all about me. and nor has he ever done that with his contributions. Like when he donated, you know, I believe it was $1.5 million to the WNBA for players who were opting out of the season because of COVID. As where there are people like Draymond Green, who has been rumored to, you know, talk recklessly about the WNBA and some people that were paying. But nonetheless, Kyrie is one of those people who, you know, came up and took a stand and, you know, he looked out for them. Kyrie recently issued a statement today, yesterday, talking to the media, saying that he was dealing with a lot of family and personal things, and that, you know, he had to take a step back and handle and deal with those things. Like, you know, we all play basketball. You feel me? And for some of us, it is a job. Just like we all have our own jobs. We all have different occupations. Remember, job is justification of business. An old friend of mine, Rufus, had told me that. God rest his soul. Rest in peace to you, Rufus. Mr. Rufus Green. He was a great man. Used to work for General Motors, I believe. It was for about 25, 30 years. He used to work at General Motors plant. And he was a great deal of inspiration for me getting into the spot that I am in now when it comes down to this sports media thing. So rest in peace and lay in heaven, Mr. Rufus. You are a great friend to me and a very great mentor as well. I love you. Now, he always told me that job means justification of business, right? And business is business as usual. But when things come into your personal life that you have to handle and that you have to address, you know the people that you have to talk to, and you'll talk to those people, but everybody else, it doesn't matter. If I'm a basketball player, I'm going to talk to the people on my team. I'm going to tell them, please don't leak my business out there. And the Brooklyn Nets did one hell of a job of not doing that. Especially Steve Nash. Steve Nash knew what was going on, but he was not going to tell us what was going on. because he showed that much respect for Kyrie Irving. And shout out to Steve Nash for being such a stand-up guy. he might not have known all of the details, but he and Kyrie spoke. He even told us that he spoke with Kyrie and that he was not going to tell us the details of that conversation because it was Kyrie's privacy and he was not going to invade that and not convey that to the public. So shout out to you, Steve Nash. That is a great way to be a leader. Nonetheless, Kyrie had things that he had to handle, things that he had to deal with. And none of y'all are going to deal with that for Kyrie. You can't. You have to allow Kyrie to handle his own business, his own issues, and his own situations off of the court. He has a team to help him with on the court stuff. Off the court stuff, Kyrie is his own man. He has to live his own life. He has to handle his own situations. And that's exactly what he did. He don't owe none of y'all a damn thing. Especially people sitting back talking down on him all the time. Ever since that's been happening. I.e. one Stephen A. Smith and another one named Shannon Sharp. You know, the guys that sat back and gave Kyrie all this flack. Stephen A. even went as far as to say, Kyrie should retire. Maybe you should, sir. Because that is a horrible take. Horrible. Atrocious. Right? Like, he did something you saw as unfit, so he should retire. Well, you've said a lot of things that people said or thought was unfit. Does that mean you should too? I didn't think so. So, there's just something that has to be handled and something that has to be addressed because not enough people have been coming to Kyrie Irving's defense, yet still everybody's been on Kyrie Irving's back, right? So it's like, okay, now, and I've told people, watch, like, this is going to get handled, Kyrie's going to come back, and he's going to be Kyrie. Y'all are going to forget that this happened. And the fact of the matter is, y'all have no patience. The whole Brooklyn Nets organization has been showing patience for Kyrie Irving. The people that pay him had been showing patience for Kyrie Irving. But you can't? Well, who the hell are you? But you know what? Y'all can have that. That ain't what I'm mad at. So either way, to talk about some other things. You know what? Before I get into other things, no, screw that. Before I get into other things, no. I'm going to finish this up. I'm going to leave no stone unturned. Y'all didn't act like that when LeBron James was gone for 2 weeks back in Cleveland. Y'all didn't act like that. LeBron James said he needed to, you know, he needed to calm down. He needed to chill out, basically, right? Like, he had to handle some things that was going on with him mentally, and that's exactly what he did. And then he came back and he did what he usually did, came, saw, and conquered. That's exactly what LeBron James did when he came back. But y'all had no problem with that. Right? That was okay because he's LeBron James. And yes, he is LeBron James. But Kyrie Irving is Kyrie goddamn Irving. And y'all ain't about to sit back and act like Kyrie Irving is the average basketball player. That's first and foremost. So you ain't about to treat Kyrie like he's the average basketball player. You ain't about to talk about Kyrie like he's the average basketball player. A lot of people, for some reason, forgot that LeBron was gone for 2 weeks from Cleveland. I don't know how. But I said, if you forget that LeBron James did it, forget that Kyrie Irving did it too. He had personal issues he had to address and deal with. and personal situations he had to be a part of. I'm sure plenty of y'all have been at jobs where you told your job, you gotta go. And I know for a fact that there's a lot of y'all that just up and leave anyway. And you go and you handle what you gotta handle. And there's nothing wrong with that. But don't act like there's something wrong with that when Kyrie damn Irving does it too. Exactly what's wrong with y'all. A bunch of backpedaling, two-faced fans. Quote-unquote fans. And for those who are just like, you want to know what? We're going to give Kyrie the benefit of the doubt because we did that with other people. Well, thank you. Because he at least deserves that. Now, I'm okay with going on to a different topic. But all I'm going to finish that with is, we're going to see how Kyrie plays tonight. There's a new guy on the roster. His name is James Harden. And I think that this is going to play out very well. James Harden knows that that's not his team. It is KD and Kyrie's team. And all he is there to do is enable them and add on to that equation. He's not there to make it about him. Houston was about him. And that's okay because it was his team. Now he's on their team. He is there to enable them. As he should. That being said, I think it's time that we look at a couple of things. First and foremost, I'm going to start doing a segment called Narratives, right? Now, you've heard, you know, and seen the whole Narratives thing, that I've done a couple of times before, right? I'm going to continue the narratives thing, but I'm just going to make it its own segment. So we're going to get into narratives right now. You see how fast the narrative of the Brooklyn Nets was, oh, it's not going to work. And James Harden, it's not going to work. And now it went from it's not going to work to it's unfair. Literally within the course of 3 games, it went from it's not going to work to it's unfair. I told you before, narratives can change overnight. Narratives can change in 5 minutes, right? But I'm about energy. Keep that energy. Keep that energy. When you said it's not going to work, oh, you know, they're all ISO players. You know, none of them are going to share the ball, oh, this, that, and that. They're all James Harden's an ISO player. He's a selfish guy. He's going to take most of the shots. He's going to try and take shots away from Kevin Durant, this, that, and the third. No. Keep that energy. Keep it. That's what y'all said, right? It's not going to work. Harden's too selfish. Yeah, the guy that led the league in assists just a couple years ago was too selfish. Anyways, he's too selfish. That's what y'all said, right? Okay, so with that being said, keep that energy. Y'all are so quick to judge things before y'all actually see it in action. And then once you're proven wrong, it's unfair. No. Because it wasn't unfair when they first got him, right? It was going to be a dumpster fire. Too much talent. Not enough willing to share. Too many scorers on one team. They're not going to be able to gel together. Oh, this person's going to take shots away from that person. It's going to take shots away from this person. No, keep that. No, keep that at bay. That's what y'all said. Stick with it. Stick with it. I dare you. I double dare you. Stick with it. I have a cousin, very much like a brother to me. Y'all have heard him on this show before. Isaiah Minter. I call him Jet. Right? I told him during the off season. I told a lot of people during the off season. James Harden was going to find a way to get to Brooklyn. Then the reports a week ago happened to prove me right. He goes to Brooklyn. Me and Isaiah, we talked to each other. I told him, you are welcome. And I don't care how arrogant that sounds. I told him, you are welcome. It is 4:44 right now. I call this the Jay-Z time. Happy 4:44, everybody. Now, anyways, I told him it was going to happen. Then it happens and I tell him, you're welcome. He said he's not sold on it. He actually didn't like the trade. He felt like Harden wasn't going to be the fit. He was not sold on it in any way, shape, or form. I said, this is the thanks that you give me. I speak things into existence. And I am A-okay with saying that. Carmelo to Portland, I said it. Hassan Whiteside to Portland, I said it. Russell Westbrook to the Rockets, I said it. James Harden to the Brooklyn Nets, I said it. The Lakers are going to get Anthony Davis, I said it. As soon as the Lakers got LeBron, oh, well, you know Kawhi's not going there, I said it. Serge Ibaka and Kawhi Leonard need to get back on the same team. It happened. Here's the thing that I love about this. It just keeps getting better. It just keeps getting better. Seth Curry to Philly. Because I said Philly was going to need the extra shooters. I was like, well, you want to know what? You want to know who's going to need extra time in a good lineup? Seth Curry. Woo, y'all saw that work. I'm not here to rub it in anybody's face who said that I was wrong. But that lets me know I might need to be an NBA GM, baby. Anyways. Now. Keep that energy of James Harden's not going to work on the Brooklyn Nets. Just like I'm keeping my energy when I said Russell Westbrook wasn't going to work out on the Wizards. Russell Westbrook doesn't need a backcourt running mate. He doesn't need a Bradley Beal. Which, by the way, Bradley Beal's a great player. We all know that he's a great player. But Russell Westbrook has no shot anymore. You want to know what happens when you put a driving guard next to a shooting-esque guard? You got two scorers either way. But you want to know what happens? The best you got is Cuttino Mobley and Steve Francis. That's as good as you get. When you have two high-scoring guards, one is a shooter, another one's a slasher. You get Cuttino Mobley and Steve Francis. That's as good as it's going to get. Shooters and drivers don't complement each other. That's not the way it works. You need two versatile guards. And they have to be able to play defense. Hell, at least one of them. That way the other one can just play the lane. Stephen Clay. Two of them, both of them are are great scorers, right? But Klay does it strictly by shooting. Now, Steph, we all know he does it by shooting. But when he does take the lane, he converts at a very high rate. Klay Thompson is the better defender. But Steph Curry can play the lane like no other. Why do you think that he's so good with getting steals? He plays the lane while Klay's the versatile defender. Nobody noticed that though, huh? You want to know what I find funny? As a matter of fact, let's talk about this. You want to know what I find absolutely hilarious? It just seems like nobody's going to pay attention to this. But remember how I was just talking about Russell Westbrook not being a good shooter, right? Well, I mean, okay, first and foremost, let's address this. Russell Westbrook was never a good shooter, right? Like, people were like, oh, you know, his three-point percentage just keeps on getting lower and lower. Well, it was never good to begin with. He started off with a 27%, you know, in terms of his shooting. Then he maxed out at 32.3%, which is still horrible for a point guard. And now he's at 30%, coming off of just 25.8%. Right? Like, he was always one of the worst shooting point guards ever. Like, you know it's a problem when Steve Francis is as good as a shooter as you. Because we all know Steve Francis had no three-point shot like that. Like, he was not a good three-point shooter. But the thing is, you know how everybody talks about how Michael Jordan wasn't a good three-point shooter? And he wouldn't be able to last in this era because he's not a good three-point shooter? Yet still, Russell Westbrook, who is not a good three-point shooter, won MVP. Ooh. Yeah, take that, you Jordan haters. I mean, not that I'm here to rub salt in the wound. But like I said, overall, like, you know it's bad when Steve Francis is a better three-point shooter than you. Like, Steve Francis, he came in as a pretty solid three-point shooter, but then it was like it just started going downhill and downhill and downhill. Like, it was getting worse and worse as time progressed. Right? But, like, Russell Westbrook came in bad. And y'all just didn't see it. And then it just got worse. It's like, and I don't understand how nobody saw that. But at any rate, nonetheless, there's this thing that people have to be able to come to terms with, right? And that's that they create narratives that are, like, they have no proof behind it. They create narratives based off of what they think is going to happen. They try and predict the future, and then they create a narrative off of it, right? Instead of using observation of what has just been currently put into play, they just guess, and then it becomes a narrative. And that's why your narratives usually suck. That's also why my narratives are usually pretty good. Because I'm not just going to automatically look at the bad and then be like, oh, nope, this has to be bad. No, sometimes you put two things together where you look at the bad and you ignore the good. But you look so much at the bad that you're just like, oh, this has to be bad. And that's when, excuse me for the noise, and that's when you look like a fool. Because you show no sign of optimism. And then you take the most negative thing that you can and then you call it realism. No. The reality is that not everything is negative. If you never give benefit of the doubt, you're just stuck with doubt. Have fun with that. Because I'm not trying to be that guy. But y'all can have fun with it in a slice of pie. But I think all in all, right, for everything that we're seeing, you made the narrative Steph Curry is washed up. Yet still, the Golden State Warriors are still fighting, and Steph Curry's averaging 28 points per game. 28.2, which is right above Dame's 28.1. You know, the same Dame that you said is better than Steph Curry now? Yeah, Dame has a relatively healthy roster full of people who he has played with for years. Steph doesn't have that right now. And Steph is still playing at an elite level. Oh, but Steph's washed up now, huh? And I feel like Damian Lillard enabled that. He was like, oh, you know, he sees that defenses aren't just going to allow, you know, the type of shots to go up that, you know, they were 4 or 5 years ago. Well, they weren't allowing those shots in the first place. I've seen this man get fouled at half court, throw the damn ball up against Memphis from half court, just throw the damn ball up while he was falling, and it went in. Steph Curry is so good, he makes shots on accident. I've seen this man shoot over two people in his face. I've seen three people try and get to him. He fakes passes and will still put up a shot and drain it, nothing but net. When you have somebody with that type of shooting ability, Dame, you of all people should know. Logo Lillard, right? When you have somebody of that type of shooting ability, it don't matter what type of defense you put on them. They're still going to be that shooter. If defenses couldn't stop them before, off double and triple teaming them at times, what the hell makes you think that they're going to be able to stop them now? You think they're going to throw all five guys at them? Because it's not like Steph's a bad passer. He's a pretty good passer. So please tell me what elevated so much in the defense this year that's different from the last 4 years. Because a healthy Curry, I ain't seen him shoot bad yet. Not for no one seat, not for a full seat. Yep. I ain't seen it happen yet, and I doubt I'll ever see it happen. But, who am I? Who am I to talk? I'm just the analyst, right? Okay, I'll take that. I'm just the analyst. Now, I think another thing that we can address, I think another thing that anybody can address, is that Zach LaVine needs to leave the Bulls. Zach LaVine has been, throughout the last couple seasons, Zach LaVine has been playing at too elite of a level for him to be stuck on the Chicago Bulls with relatively not much help. Like, when you have somebody outputting 27 points per game, which is what he's averaging right now, the least you can do is play some damn defense. Am I wrong for saying that? Like, honestly, if I am, please put me in check. But please, please, am I wrong for saying that? I just need to know at this point. Like, am I, is there something that I'm not getting? Is there something that's wrong with me? Like, I want you to think about something, right? as we stand here right now, Lauri Markkanen has only played 7 games. Out of the Bulls' 14 games, he's only played 7. Right? So that raises the eyebrow of, okay, well, how healthy is he going to be? Kobe White has been averaging 16 a game. That's good. Right? So, I mean, I guess that's good. But okay, I'm not going to lie. That's not that good. All right? Because he's averaging it off of 14 and a half shots. He's shooting 40%. That's not good. Now, Wendell Carter, who's only taking 8.5 shots a game, is shooting 53%, and he's averaging 13 points a game. Right? Otto Porter is shooting 46%. It's averaging almost 13 a game. Thaddeus Young, shooting 57%. He's averaging 10 a game. Patrick Williams, averaging almost 49%. He's averaging 10 points per game. Sounds pretty good, right? Well, Zach LaVine's averaging 27.4, and he's only shooting 18.5 shots per game. He is shooting 50% right now while shooting 39% at the three-point line. I have no problem with that. This is what I have a problem with. The fact that Zach LaVine, as we stand here right now, right, when we look at the fact that he's doing this good on offense, like overall, he has a box plus minus of 2.1. I'm not big on box plus minus, by the way. I'm not a huge fan of the stat. Nobody else is even at 1 right now. And come to think of it, Chicago has more people in negative box plus minus than positive box plus minus. With a 6-8 record, right? But here's the other problem that I have with this. Opponents are averaging 120 points per game on the Chicago Bulls. They're 28th out of 30th. They have the second fastest pace in basketball right now. But they're 28th in opponents' points per game. Defensive rating, they're 26th. It should not be like this. Put some damn defenders on this team. We know Zach LaVine can average damn near 30. Hell, I saw that coming when he was still in Minnesota. Zach LaVine's the second coming of Vince Carter. You know, the guy who everybody pays attention to his dunking, but is very underrated as a shooter. Yes, that's been Zach LaVine his whole career. The boy can gun it. And we know he can. I know he can. But the fact of the matter is, don't make the same mistake that Toronto is making with Vince Carter with not giving this guy legitimate help. His second best player is Lauri Markkanen. And I'm not trying to say this in a way that's disrespectful or degrading to Lauri. Y'all might take it like that, but I promise that's not how I'm trying to dish it out. Who the hell is Lauri Markkanen? Like, can we be real for a second? Like, Lauri, he's a good player, man. He is. And I'll never say that he does not. He don't play no defense. Right? That's my first beef with him. He was inefficient as all hell. Except for at the three-point line, I guess. Like, at the three-point line, he's pretty fair. But when you are a power forward, averaging 43% shooting, 43% shooting, 42.5% shooting. Now, this year, you're at 47, and that's cool. But you only played 7 games out of 14. How long do we really expect for that to keep up? You look at other people, right? Bradley Beal has Russell Westbrook. Kevin Durant has James Harden and Kyrie Irving. LeBron James has Anthony Davis. Okay, fine. You don't want to go with super upper epsilon people. Okay, all right. I get it, because Zach LaVine's not at that level. I mean, he's definitely Bradley Beal level. I don't care what nobody says. Zach LaVine and Bradley Beal's on the same tier. But, okay, let's name some other people. Trae Young has DeAndre Ayton. Donovan Mitchell has Rudy Gobert. Who does Zach LaVine have? Lauri Markkanen. Zach, if you ever listen to this, get the hell out of Dodge. Get away from the Chicago Bulls. You all know who could really use you? The New York Knicks. Oh my God, you and Julius Randle would be an amazing duo right now. Right now. Julius Randle is amazing right now. I've been calling this out, and y'all have heard me call this out many times. Julius Randle is a great player. He just needed the right situation for him. Go and get him Zach LaVine and do it now. Get rid of RJ Barrett. Put in Zach LaVine. Let them run all hell in New York. I guarantee you New York becomes a playoff team if they go get Zach LaVine while keeping Julius Randle. Like, New York. New York. I know you should be listening to me right now. I'm usually right about these things. Go get Zach LaVine. Like, I'm not a Knicks fan. I'm not. I'll never be a Knicks fan. But Knicks are putting up a hell of a fight right now. They're 7-8. Get rid of RJ Barrett. He can't shoot. He's super inefficient. Like, get rid of RJ Barrett. And goodness, if I had to pick somebody else, because you're probably going to have to get, you know, you're going to have to get rid of a couple people to get Zach LaVine, right? This is what I say right now. Get rid of Kevin Knox, RJ Barrett, and Reggie Bullock, and go get Zach LaVine. If you do that, you will make the playoffs, mark my words. All I ask is that you listen. If you have Julius Randle, Mitchell Robinson, Zach LaVine, Elfrid Payton in the same lineup, it will work. Trust me when I say it will work. And Alec Burks, it will work. Like, trust. Oh, man. Damn, I wish the Knicks could hear me right now. I just want good basketball, y'all. That's it. That's all. And go pick up Isaiah Thomas. Like, God damn, he can do something for your bench. Let Isaiah Thomas be your sixth man. Imagine Isaiah Thomas on the floor with Julius Randle again. They worked pretty well in Los Angeles, because both of them were competitors. Honestly, I feel like Isaiah Thomas was the one who started bringing that beast out in Julius Randle. When I forgot what game it was, but, you know, both of them weren't doing that great. They were both trying to keep up. And all of a sudden, they went over, you know, they started arguing on the sidelines. And, you know, they're all up in each other's faces. And Thomas is like, fuck all that, I want to win. And it's like, after that, I saw Julius Randle that I've been waiting for. Go get Isaiah Thomas. Put him next to Julius Randle. Put him next to Zach LaVine. And Alec Burks and Mitchell Robinson. Oh my God, I wish they would listen. One day they're going to listen to me. One day everybody going to listen to me. Because what I say makes sense. New York just lacks scoring output. Points per game, they are ranked 29th out of 30. Opponents' points per game, they're ranked first. They got the defense Zach LaVine needs. Zach LaVine has the offense that New York Knicks need. Go get him. To hell with a R.J. Barrett. He can go to the Bulls. You really want to see what the dude is capable of? Go put him in an offense that ain't got much offensive talent. And then see if he can rise above. We already knew Zach LaVine could. Now go get Zach LaVine a defensive team. Chicago, listen. Y'all not doing what y'all need to do with Zach LaVine anyway. And in order for y'all to do that, y'all going to have to go through a whole entire new rebuild. And y'all already in a bad rebuild as it is. Just let Zach LaVine go to New York. Anyways. Because I know that was kind of long-winded. So I apologize about that. But I'm standing heavy to what I say. And that is just something that I want you guys to just let that marinate. All right? And when we get back to our next episode, hopefully that is something. Okay, we all know that's not going to be something in the next week. But I just hope the right people hear this. Because I really feel like it makes sense. And if Zach LaVine will be on board with something like that, New York is going to be a playoff team. As long as everybody stays healthy, they will be what they need to be. And I have no doubt in my mind about it. And go get Isaiah Thomas. Let him be your sixth man. Once Alec Burks, you know, once he gets cleared up from his injury, you know, he's on a day-to-day basis. You see what the man's capable of. Mitchell Robinson, pretty solid defender. Should work on the rebounding some, but pretty solid defender. I think this is something that could work. And truth be told, I want to know what you guys think. So let that marinate, and I will be back talking to you guys very soon. And until then, you guys have a great time. Enjoy the NBA action that's going to be coming your way. Sit back, stay safe. Love you all. Have a great night.